Good morning. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio. And I'm sitting here with Mr. John Parker of the Blue Thunder Reno Race Team. Actually, he's probably the race team owner. Yes, no?
Well, that's affirmative. TM1 Limited is a Nevada corporation that's doing business as Blue Thunder Air Racing. And yes, I'm the owner of TM1. The TM1 crew, or the Blue Thunder Air Racing crew, is made up of just an awful lot of individuals. We have more than 14 crew members. All of them have expertise in a variety of fields that brings our success to us. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did, sort of. Now, you're flying a Thunder Mustang, which is a kit-built, all-composite, slightly smaller scale P-51.
That's affirmative. The Thunder Mustang kit is officially a 3/4 scale P-51. Some areas of the airplane are a little bigger than 3/4, some a little smaller, but officially is 3/4 scale, and it's an experimental. It's in the experimental amateur built category. And we use it as a demonstrator and an advertising media for our sponsors.
Now, that airplane, I thought, was no longer in production? I mean,
that's correct. The kits themselves are no longer in production. And I believe it was 22 or 23 kits sold. There are 14 flying, of which one is Blue Thunder 2. There have been two that have been destroyed, and the others are in some form of either storage or construction by their owners.
So parts availability has not really been a problem for you?
So far, there's an awful lot of parts availability that's available, and we've been doing just an awful lot of development on the kit for, obviously one purpose. A lot of people say, well, why did you do that? Well, the obvious non-answer is to make it heavier and slower.
No, that seems to be a way it turns out, I'm sure, sometimes.
Well, on some of the modifications that don't work, obviously we find out. That gives us information that we know, okay, that didn't work, so we don't do that again. And then we back up from that and then move on forward.
So basically you're saying you've become very skilled at how to make the airplane not go fast in a lot of these research projects.
Well, no. I think we've been very successful because Blue Thunder is just about as, well, the engine in Blue Thunder is just a factory stock engine. And it is roughly 50 or 60 miles an hour faster than any other stock Thunder Mustang. And we just set this record at 363. The airplane can go faster, but it's not a shabby number.
No, not at all. I mean, you guys have achieved a phenomenal success rate with this airplane. One thing I noticed, and I got this from the television special on Reno Racing, you're running a three-blade prop as opposed to the scale four-blade prop. Now, you said because you could turn up more RPM, is that why you did it and get more power out of the engine?
No. it's back to the same old answer to the question, why did you do that? And it's because it's faster. Now, Hartzell has done an awful lot of work for us in terms of aerodynamics as far as propellers are concerned, and they have built that propeller for me. And we're very appreciative of that. And the deal is, you know, when you want to talk to somebody about how do you make an airplane go faster, obviously there's three things: more horsepower, more thrust, less drag. Well, where do you get the thrust? And that's from the propeller. And Hartzell has done a lot of work for us, built that propeller for us, and that's why we're using it.
Now, I'm assuming that's a fully controllable propeller. In other words, you can play with pitch in during the race?
It's a constant speed. A constant speed propeller.
But you just firewall everything and go like mad.
Well, in air racing, essentially that's how things are done. You're using essentially full power all the time. And then you adjust your position by maneuvering the airplane. but you really don't take the power off at any time, as contrary to auto racing, where you're up and down on the throttle all the time. This is a constant power operation. And I'm not exactly sure where we want to go with this particular question.
Well, let's talk about the strategy of a race. You're making the maximum power you can. So that's really not much of a factor. It is whatever you get out of it.
That's correct.
So now it's all up to the pilot. It's all up to how he operates that airplane in order to get him a position, to get a jump on the other guy, that kind of stuff.
Yes, your opportunities to get the so-called jump on the other guy is usually at the start. And there's a lot of techniques associated with getting a good start or not getting a good start, or being ready, being not ready. But being ready for the start is one of the biggies. And the start is usually always on a downhill arrangement. Now, we have a small advantage in on the start, in so much as we've got one of the heaviest airplanes out there. So we've got a very heavy airplane going downhill, which gives us a small advantage there. However, the weight every place else doesn't help. But
right.
We get that small advantage on the start, and then you get a good starting position. Everybody else is then playing catch-up. And so you can play your own game and run your own line. When it's clear in front of you, and then everybody else has to deal with you, or in their case, me. And as far as how to run a race type of thing, that's one of the areas where.
Do different airplanes favor different lines around the course? I would think it's, keep it tight as possible to the pylons. I understand that being smooth on the controls is exceptionally important. You don't want to create a lot of excess drag in the corners by pulling more elevator than you need, that kind of stuff.
That's absolutely correct, Dave. The deal is usually the best line is the best line, and everybody would be following that same line. Any smoothness on the controls is very important. Anytime you feel anything, like a side movement or G-forces or anything like that, that's wasted energy. And so you want to keep those to an absolute minimum. So rapid roll rates, quick pulls, G-forces are wasting energy, and so you want to avoid those whenever you can.
Now, in automotive racing, everything is really stressed to its limits. Are you pushing your engines that hard? I mean, how long does an engine last? Do you get a season out of an engine before you got to pull it down, or can you run longer?
We have an advantage in so much as we have an engine which I refer to as bulletproof, and the stress levels that we're running in the Falkner V12 is considerably less than some of the stress levels that some of the other people are dealing with. So we have an advantage on that. However, it's Every engine in this racing environment is, it's the old story. It's guaranteed to wear and tear as long as it lasts.
Right. The warranty is good for the lifetime of the engine.
Exactly.
Which could be 4 hours or 4 minutes.
Well, that's absolutely true.
What drives you on? Why do you want to become an air racer?
Well, racing is a business just like so many others, and it's also a form of advertising. Obviously, the success that we have sort of shows our customers, what we can do, and the quality of the quality of the products that we can put out. It also is a media or a media for our advertisers to put their name in front of the group, or in front of as large a number of people as possible. And when you say, why do we do this, the real answer is so that our sponsors can sell more of their product. And
that's the businessman's answer. That's not the John Parker answer. You do it because you love it.
Well, naturally, It's like why you do radio. It's what you enjoy, and myself being a semi-competitive person, this is a way to show what I can do and be competitive, or be as competitive as I possibly can with the product that I have. To satisfy that natural competitive nature.
And that's what keeps you going back every year.
Well, I've been doing it a long time.
I see that. You have a beautiful airplane, sir, and I thank you for coming out and talking to me and for bringing your airplane to Oshkosh.
Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate this.
Will we get to see you fly it? Because that has a unique sound.
It does. It does, and everybody knows it, and it does. Unfortunately, our contract doesn't really call for us to fly during this particular event.
Oh, well, I know you're just down off of Aeroshow Square, right near the Communications Center. You have a booth set up, and the airplane is there.
Yes, we're associated with the Reno Air Racing booth. That's sort of a we wash their hands, they wash our hands type of thing. It's a mutual benefit. Anyway, that's where we are. That's what we're doing here. And then, I guess, did that answer your question? I hope that answered.
Yes, it did. It did. That's fine. Again, thank you for coming, John Parker. I wish you success at this year's races, which I believe are coming up in, what, 2 months?
Well, September, the middle of September.
Okay, very good. I wish I could be there because it looks like a blast.
You need to be there.
Yes.
Because this is, one of the most unique aviation events in the world.
But if I was there, I'd probably just want to stick a microphone in your mouth when you didn't want to be bothered talking to me.
Well, that's the radio digital Dave.
That's right.
We'd try to not say yes.
Or other words that have to be modified.
Well, we would welcome you to our...
Well, very good.
We'd welcome you to our little open house that we have during the races there. And food is good.
All right. And the weather's good and the flying's great.
It is, yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dave.